The Lord bless you, dear family. Yesterday, we were blessed to have two more of our volunteers take vows and put the habit on. I cannot get over the beauty of these souls God has sent us. Truly, they are a wonder and a joy. The brotherly love and caring of these souls truly overwhelms me at times, and they get under serious attack, such as being paralyzed by demons in their sleep, or having dreams that are very negative and discouraging, but they always go to the Lord and He comforts and restores them. The awesome part is that they're willing to suffer for Jesus, as He told us that if we want to be His disciples, we must deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Him. When you think about that statement, it's very daunting. The cross was a horrible way to die, and yet He is asking us to pick it up and carry it. That means we will wear the crown of scorns as well and be under attack just as He was. But in our own circumstances, He is truly making us into His image by what we suffer for the gospel. Precious family, I'm asking for your prayers because we're under attack at the refuge. It seems that a certain coven of witches has gathered together and is planning some kind of assault on the community. They really want us off the mountain, but the Lord wants them converted, so He is asking us to pray for them. After I received this news about the attack, He gave me confirmations that He is protecting us, but still, we really need your prayers. We have seen people spying on us from the forest, driving by and filming our buildings. Right now we are working on the commons, which will be a place for us to gather, eat, worship, watch holy movies, and just plain enjoy one another. The hermitages are very small, except for Ezekiel's and mine, so they do not lend themselves to fellowship, which this building will. They are strictly for prayer and being alone with the Lord. As far as how many we have here, there are only four besides Father and I, and two living in Taos. And this is how the Lord intended us to be, a very, very small family. We have an outreach every other week where we go out to pray with the people in the valley and bring some food. It is beautiful to see each of us pressing into prayer and the work God has given us. And I want to thank you, for you have made it all possible by your generous donations. So after the news of the upcoming attack, I sought the Lord, and this is what He said to me through the rhemas that came up, including during the Lord's Supper, the readings. Give me justice, O God, and defend my cause against the wicked. Rescue me from deceitful and unjust men. You, O God, are my refuge. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never again to rise, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. That was the Egyptian army that was chasing the Israelites before they crossed the Red Sea. The psalm goes on. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness. Amen. And streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. And another word that came up, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him, as you have helped His people and continue to help them. And this psalm, was a rhema from the website. Be merciful to me, my God, for my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long they press their attack. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? All day long they twist my words. All their schemes are for my ruin. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, hoping to take my life. Because of their wickedness, do not let them escape. In your anger, O God, bring the nations down. Record my misery and list my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this I will know that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise. In the Lord, whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can man do to me? I am under vows to you, my God. I will present my thank offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. And that was a really beautiful Psalm 56. And about 20 years ago, the Lord had given me a word about the community that was to be here someday. And I made a rhema card taken from the example of a Blessed Mother, and this popped up also. And she firmly believed all the angel foretold. So that was a beautiful rhema, just to stay in faith, and what God has promised, He will do. Yesterday when we were all praying, I saw you, Jesus, spread a huge covering over the property where we had built. And then I opened the Bible promise book to God's protection. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The man who does what is right runs into it and is safe. In so many words, you, O Lord, have promised me protection. Have you anything to say? Please open my ears to hear you, sweet Savior. Jesus began, "No harm will come to this place, for I have given my angels charge over it. As long as your intentions remain pure, Claire, you have nothing to fear. I have sent you the best to untie this evil knot and the ways you have been cheated. Rest in that. I am with this soul, and they will do exactly what I need done. But you, my love, must pray for your enemies, because they are not few, and wish for them to be saved and not go into perdition. Some, in fact, will convert. Others have sealed their commitment to the dark side and will have nothing to do with the light. They are mere men. What can they do when God is on your side? Besides, this refuge does not belong to you, but to me, and they are not fighting a mere mortal. And what was stolen from you shall be returned, for injustice has cried out to heaven. Many are those who are on your side. Pray for them. They are ancestors and relatives of those who persecute you. They pray for the conversion of their dear ones, even as the rich man in the life of Lazarus prayed to me for his brothers." Now, here's a very interesting point that I never got before. In Luke 16, starting at the 19th verse, is the story of Lazarus and the rich man. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being tormented, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to here." And then the rich man said, "I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." Abraham answered him back, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." The Lord began, "You see, though he was in torment, his voice was heard, and his voice was a supplication to me. Anytime you cry out, whether on earth, in heaven, or purgatory, it is received as a prayer, even though the answer may be no." Nonetheless, the rich man cried out in supplication to Abraham and was heard. That is what prayer is all about, crying out to God on behalf of others. Well, Lord, are you saying that there are intercessors in hell? Jesus continued, "In hell they cry out to me and I hear them. There is nowhere on earth or below the earth that I do not hear. That is prayer. Whether it is for oneself or another, it is still prayer, asking grace from me." "But do you grant the requests of those in hell?" "No, Claire. They have forfeited all their rights to prayer because of their decision to belong to Satan. I hear them, but I do not answer the requests. Let them pray to Satan, who will only ridicule and torment them without mercy for being so foolish as to think he's capable of anything but evil and torment. This is the saddest state of affairs. Satan taught them to lie, steal, cheat, murder, and destroy. Then when they die, they expect to reap something good from him. He lied to them. They lied to others, but hold out hope that he will keep his promises. He laughs them to scorn for buying his lies and torments them day and night with their stupidity in thinking otherwise of him. He is a fallen angel. His entire motive is to hurt me by hurting mankind. That is why he puts up a kindly front. He dupes the ignorant into complicity with him, making me out to be the unjust brother equal to him, when in fact he is a mere creature, foul as he is, and I am the creator that gave him life and free will. He appeals to carnal man and the flesh by indulging in unspeakable acts which the demons goad a man onto committing, fueling them with passion. Deep down in the hearts of these souls, there is a voice crying out, 'Don't do that. Don't do it.' But they are given over to their lusts and reasoned with in such a way that their consciences are totally dead, and my voice is not heard. And this is the sort of men you are dealing with. They have long since abandoned what was good and right and fully embraced what is evil. Yet there is hope for some if you pray. But prayer will keep you from anger and bitterness for all the evil they attempt to do to you. And that was the end of his message. What I thought was really noteworthy is that's an example of someone praying who has left the earth, the rich man. The rich man is crying out and asking for mercy. That's a prayer, and it's coming from the other side. Now, the Lord didn't grant that request, but still, it tells us something. That people who have crossed over to the other side can pray for us. It's right there in the scriptures, and it's very, very clear. But of course, because they've sold themselves to the devil, the Lord will not hear their prayer in the sense of granting their request. But he does hear what they say, and it is a form of prayer. So people who think that the great cloud of witnesses is not able to intercede for us are mistaken. Through the Holy Spirit, they're aware of everything that goes on to the degree that the Lord allows. And when they see their relatives in danger, they pray for them because they want them to be in heaven. So make good use of your intercessors in heaven, dear ones. They are on your side. And pray for us. We really appreciate it. God bless.